Here today, I got my friend Peter McKechnie over here also, and good to see Don Fortson, who we were in seminary. Let's see, I was 20 years ahead of you, about something like that. Can you help the Tar Heel basketball team with that leadership?
Okay,
we need it badly. Yes. Well, good morning, and I am delighted to be here this morning. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. If you'll follow this passage from Exodus, is on your sheet there. If I say a sentence twice, I want you to say it with me the third time. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. The bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. The bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called him out of the bush. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush. Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Say it. Here I am. Here I am. Then he said, don't come near. Take your sandals off your feet. The place where you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The word of the Lord. Well, I'm looking for a burning bush. Seriously, I really am right now in my life. I'm looking for a burning bush. Not sure when anybody seen one recently? I mean, I know there are burning bush plants sometimes that you see around here. Have any of you seen a burning bush in the last week? How many of you drove here this morning? Did you see a burning bush along the way? What if you did? What would you do? You think you might just drive on by and say, ooh, that was strange. Or do you think you would maybe stop and look at it and say, what is that? It's burning, but it doesn't seem like it's burning it up. Do you think you might actually get out of the car and walk over and take a close look at it? Do you think the bush would speak to you? Would you talk to the bush? You might be a little bit nervous. I hope none of my profs are watching or any of the elders in my church. What would it be like to really see a burning bush? And I am looking for one. What if Moses had not been there and if Moses had not turned aside, what would have happened to him? Now, he was 80 years old, two-thirds of the way through life, lived to 120. But what if he hadn't turned aside? What do you think would have happened to him? What do you think would have happened to the Jewish people who were slaves in Egypt? I'm sure God would have said, well, I can do a detour around Moses. I can certainly come up with another plan. But what if he hadn't turned aside? And what if you and I don't turn aside sometimes to look and see and pay attention to what's going on in the world around us? Thomas Friedman, the columnist, said, we are in a state today of continuous partial attention. Always on, attending so many different things, all the distractions, all that's happening around us. What if we're not really paying attention? What am I missing? What am I, are you missing today? I read the story about the famous violinist, Joshua Bell, who did an impromptu concert at one of the subway stations in Washington, D.C. at the end of the day as people rushing to get on their train and go back home. He sat for an hour playing on his multi-million-dollar Stradivarius violin, world-famous violinist. Hardly anybody stopped to listen to him. One guy did come over and put a dollar in his case. One little kid wanted to stop, and his mother said, no, we got to keep going. What's going on around us so often, even like today, this day, here, right now, if I'm not paying attention? I think that's the word that comes to me out of the scripture this morning. Here was this man, an ordinary guy on an ordinary day, looking after the sheep. He'd had to run away from Egypt because he was a wanted man for having killed someone there, not expecting anything special to happen until suddenly he sees this and stops and turns aside. Am I living an attentive life? Mary Oliver, the poet, says, here are instructions for living a life. Pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it. Pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it. And how often at the end of the day I have to stop and say, I'm not sure I did pay attention today. Wasn't anything to be astonished about. What do I have to talk about? So here we have this wonderful story we have here today. And this is pictured for us here by the artist Chagall, still up there. Take a look at it and tell me. Here's this man. He comes there, stops, look at the bush. What do you see in that painting? Tell me.
The divine name of God.
The name of God. You find it where?
Yeah.
But God reveals himself that day as I am who I am. What else do you see? Angel. Nice little angel up there. What else do you see?
Moses has bunny ears.
Bunny ears. That's his antenna up there listening to that voice, right? What else do you see?
It looks like he's bowing or on his knees.
Yeah, he's on his knees. Yeah. Where's his hand? What's that say? What's that say?
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. What would you say?
Geez Louise, Papa Cheese.
Oh. What else do you see?
Sheep.
Sheep. Yeah, the sheep back there. Something else?
Bare feet. Yeah.
Bare feet. His feet are off because why?
It's holy ground.
God says to him, you're standing on holy ground. So, where might there be a burning bush, I wonder, for you and me in the scripture and in our own lives? So, I think this says to me, this ordinary guy, ordinary place, ordinary day, says God pays attention before we do. Well, Psalmist says, what are we, human beings, that you pay attention to us? Amazing. You really stop and pay attention to us. And he uses an ordinary bush to get Moses' attention. You know, God puts the burning bush there, doesn't he? Today we'd probably maybe have a podcast about 8 ways to get a burning bush. Or Amazon can send you one that'll come by tomorrow. As if we could manipulate God in a way. We can't, can we? God chooses what he will, even very ordinary things that sometimes we might just pass by. He uses that to get Moses' attention. And then when God saw Moses turn aside, stops, he could have walked by, when he turns aside to pay attention to this, that's when God speaks to him and says, Moses, Moses. And his answer, here I am. I was once with some friends, touring England, went to Oxford University, going through one of the buildings there where there was a philosophy professor who had on this door a little sign that said, are you here? Didn't say, you are here. Are you here? Are you really present? That's the Lord saying to us so many times. Are you here? I was talking to my wife over the table. I have a wife who knows how to pay attention. I'm glad that she does. She even sees the fouls that the referees miss. But she said this morning, does God keep speaking even when we don't pay attention? Even when Moses perhaps could not have been listening, he was. But if we're not listening, is God still speaking? Do we have the antenna up in a way that we can let that happen? So the place where we are standing is holy ground. Right now, it was for him. Not a palace, not a temple, not in the headquarters in Egypt. Where you are, where you're sitting right now. Holy ground, or wherever God has called you to minister for him. So easy to forget and be distracted by that, isn't it? So, I am God, he's saying, and I am paying attention to you. I have seen the misery of my people. He goes on at the end of this wonderful passage here in Exodus to say to Moses, all right, you hear me, you're listening, you're paying attention. Now I want you to know that I am paying attention. I've observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry. I've come down to deliver them, and I will send you. So God says, you pay attention. Moses is busy on his own business. God says, I have some other business for you. And I want you to pay attention. I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. And his answer when Moses said, who am I? The answer is, as he goes on to say this wonderful words about his name, I am who I am who has sent you. This is my name forever. This means a lot to me because in my own life, I find it so difficult to pay attention, so distracted. My daughter, Debbie, says, but Dad's not a workaholic, he's a thinkaholic. My brain seems to be going all the time. So to stop long enough to really listen to where I am at that point, who God has brought into my life, that's a very important discipline. I was first thought about this when I read something years ago by Simone Weil, that very gifted French woman, non-practicing Jew, who was possessed, she said, by Jesus. A little sentence where she said, prayer is undivided, absolute attention to God. That stuck in my mind for a long time. Prayer is undivided, spoken or not, with words or just what's going on, absolute undivided attention to God. And she said, I believe if any of us could pray that way, pray the Lord's Prayer with full attention, just briefly, our lives would be changed, our lives would be transformed. Not easy, though, is it? In our distracted, busy world. I wrote this book, The Attentive Life, and my son-in-law, who's a doctor here in town, asked me, what are you writing? I said, I'm writing about the attentive life. He said, why? I said, because I so badly need to learn to pay attention. I so much need to learn how to pay attention. By the way, I told Don, I've got 10 copies of this here signed at the back, and any of you who want a copy, you're welcome to it. Take it on one condition. Read it and let me have a note in a few weeks to tell me if it helped you in any way. So this distracted world. We had a Bible study group here in Charlotte a while back. One of the men who was there was an executive here in town. He was traveling the world on business. And he said, last year I figured how many miles I'd gone, how many flights I'd been on, how many hours I've been flying, the average speed of the airplanes. And he said, I realized I've been going 45 miles per hour the whole year. How do I stop to say, why in this distracted world do I stop and listen and turn to that bush? Whatever it is that God brings into your life. So I'm here today to say I'm still learning. It's an ancient spiritual discipline, but one's very hard, I think, to practice. Do I do that with my wife? Got a friend from here in Charlotte. We were dinner one night, and he said, I went on a retreat with other guys to the Sinai Desert. They sent us out, a group of men, by ourselves all day long. And he said, I thought I was scared to death to be alone. No books, just to be alone with God. But he said, it changed me. His wife was there. I said, did it change him? She said, oh, yes. I said, how? She said, he listens to me without trying to give me advice. Do I really listen? I had the privilege years ago of meeting a wonderful theologian from India, Ken Yonican. Ken was getting his doctorate at the University of London. He said, I was sitting one day in the library, and I was reading the book of Acts, and I came to the passage that at the Temple Beautiful, where Peter and the others meet the man who has had great need and says, please help me, please help me. And Peter says, we don't have silver or gold, but we give you what we have. It was that passage. And suddenly said, Ken, I stopped in the middle of that, and God was speaking to me. And I heard God say to me, Ken, I don't need your PhD. I can use your PhD, but I don't need it. And he said, that quiet moment when I paid attention to the voice of God speaking through Scripture brought me to the place where he could have been one of the top faculties in Asia. But instead, he started a little ministry called the Arts and Crafts Center for the Poor and the Indigent People in one of the villages of India. He paid attention. So as we read the Scripture and study it, am I paying attention to what God is saying to me through that? I have a son-in-law who is the one I mentioned, who's an OBGYN doctor here in Charlotte. Wonderful guy, loves the Lord, went to Duke, but I forgave him for that when he married my daughter. He learned a lot there, learned a lot in Chapel Hill in medical school. He's known as the doctor who prays with his patients. So many people say, oh, when our baby was born, your son-in-law prayed for the baby. I asked him one day, I said, Craig, you've got so much background, so much experience, so much training. That must be important to you as you meet a new patient. He said, not so much. He said, I don't have a checklist I go through with most people. What I do is listen to them and pay attention to them until I can see maybe there's something that's not quite in balance. And then all of my learning experience can come into play. But first, I have to pay attention to them. So, John Ortberg, maybe you know his writings, struck me in something he wrote. He was at the Willow Creek Church in Chicago, very busy. He said, I realized my spiritual life is going down the drain. And he said, I called Dallas Willard, philosopher in the West Coast. He said, what advice do you have for me? He's a young, busy pastor here. Dallas Willard said, ruthlessly eliminate hurry. And John Ortberg said, that's great, wrote it down. Now he said, what's next? Dallas Willard said, there ain't nothing else. I read that. It made me realize, one of my spiritual guides said, it used to be when I finished one thing, I was going to chapel, I tried to do 10 more things and one more. He said, I'm learning now to remember where I was, to know where I'm going, but to keep those moments to practice the presence of God, even if it's just a few minutes. Pay attention. Be astonished, and you can tell about it. Or as Eugene Peterson translates the end of Matthew chapter 6, give your full attention to what God is doing right now. Give your full attention to what God is doing right now. And as Peter wrote in his second epistle, you would do a good thing to be aware of the glory that we saw in the mountains and pay attention to it with all that you have. Pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it. Will you pray for me that I can do that? I pray that you will today. Bless you each one.
Please stand. So to sing the fourth verse of Hymn 100.